And I've got to flip a switch here. Pardon me. Oops.
Wrong switch.
Okay. I heard me. I hope you can. We are delighted to be here, and we have some sweet memories together. I'm going to hasten to the scriptures. If you would open God's word, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I want to share with you a message. We may not get finished, but that's okay too. We'll take what God has for us. And the message I want to share with you is entitled, How God Chooses. For those of you that remember our ministry here, this was the first Doctrines of Grace Church that I pastored. We had a congregation in Arkansas, and we were introducing them to the doctrines of grace, and they were very excited. But it was not to be so. At any rate, I so loved being your pastor, and I thank you for inviting us back. 30 years ago, we were here. I never thought I'd live to the age of 30. And here I am getting ready to turn 70 in October. But I want to share this moment with you, considering some things that have been a puzzlement to me regarding the doctrines of grace. We know that Ephesians tells us that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Sometimes I've had difficulty with that. I can't get my head wrapped around it. You ever been that way? I'm thankful for it. I believe it. But understand it, I'll probably not ever get there till I see the Lord face to face. Why in the world He could love a sinner like me? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. So, we're going to talk about what God gives us from His Word. And if you want to know things, don't ask opinions. If you want to know things, God will tell you in His Word. This is the only book you need. Amen? Amen. I'm going to refer to some other verses of Scripture, but you hold 1 Samuel chapter 16 as we begin here. And I want to refer you to chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, that's God had removed Saul from being king. Everybody with me now? Know where we are. When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, I may have, I'm getting old and my forgetter works real good. I may have said that was 1 Samuel chapter 13. It's Acts chapter 13. Excuse me. I apologize for that error. There will be bunches of them. So, let me just tell you at the outset, my heart's desire is for you as God's people to become the person that Jesus, excuse me, that God describes for us in David, a man after my own heart. And there's been a lot of debate and argument about that. David was a sorry rascal. He took another man's wife, had him murdered so he could keep her. But I want you to notice something about David, and that is that he kept short accounts with God. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you older folks know what short accounts are. And we go to the store, and we get an allotment of groceries, and we take those home on account. On account, I ain't got no money today. But the grocer will keep you an account, and you make that a short account means you pay it just as fast as you can. That's a short account. And you know what David did when Nathan came to him and said, "Thou art the man"? He wrote Psalm 51. "God, keep me back from presumptuous sin." Read Psalm 51. We don't have time this morning. But chapter 16, we're going to look at a man after God's own heart, David, and how God chooses him. Now, this is not speaking directly about you being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, but I believe we can glean some hints here from this experience in 1 Samuel chapter 16 that will help us to maybe understand or become a little more comfortable with the fact that we've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, how God chooses. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to skip the reading of the first 13 verses, and this is where our study is coming from, verses 1 through 13, how God chooses. Now, the chapter opens with God reminding Samuel of the fact that he has rejected Saul as king of Israel. Saul was chosen as king because the people wanted to be like the nations around them. Let that sink in. Because there are a lot of professors in the Lord Jesus Christ today that want to be like the world, the nations that are around them. They don't want to be different. They don't want to be peculiar. I want to be like the world. You can't have it both ways. Amen. You wind up with a Saul. And Samuel told him when Saul was anointed their king, he's going to take your sons, he's going to take your servants, he's going to take your flocks and herds, and he's going to use them for himself. I don't want a king like that. Already got one. Amen. All righty. The first thing I want to make mention of in our study this morning is found in verse 1 of chapter 16, and it is that God's choices are sovereign. All I hear is crickets. Do you believe God's sovereign? Hallelujah, He's sovereign. I'm glad He's sovereign. People have a problem with the sovereignty of God. They don't want Him to be sovereign. I want to be sovereign. I want to run my life like I want to run it. Well, you can't be a child of God and work that way. That's the truth. Either Jesus is Lord or you are. And if you choose to be Lord in your life, you're going to forego all of those blessings He has for you. Because He must be King. His choices are sovereign. His choice involves sovereign purpose. See, that God's decisions, God's choices are all based on how He sees this world, this universe. He made it. It's His. And He's going to run it like He wants to run it. If you don't like that, wait till you get your own world and universe. You can run it how you want to. But God's running this one. And His sovereign choice has a purpose behind it. One of the things I want you to see here is that in the process of choosing a new king for Israel, God is doing this in front of the backdrop of rebellion and rejection. The reason they wanted Saul to be their king is because they didn't want God to be the king. His choice involves sovereign planning. Next, Samuel is told where to go to find this new king. And I want you to look at this. This is wonderful. The Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite." And I want to pause right there. Because I want you to see this last phrase. Every syllable. For I, God, have provided me a king among his sons. Amen. I see Jesus Christ in this picture. And He is going to be the king. He's going to sit on the throne. And He's going to rule this planet with a rod of iron. And He is forever going to be the only potentate. I have. We see God's sovereign power here. Many people have plans and dreams and they lack the power to bring them to pass. I know all of you have had dreams in your life. I aspire to do this, make plans for that. And somewhere along the way, that doesn't come to pass. Because we don't have the power. But God does. We're not in the same category with Him. What He proposes, He will also dispose. God rules in the affairs of men. Sometimes watching the events unfold in our world today, I was talking to someone out in the vestibule before services began, this world's gone crazy. I mean, absolutely stark raving, pulling your hair out on fire, screaming crazy. This world is crazy. But God's still on the throne, people. And He still runs the affairs of kings. He sets up one, takes down another. He gives kingdoms to men as He's pleased to do so. Verses 6 through 13. God's choices are not only sovereign, they're surprising. We read verse 1. Verse 2, Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." You know what's going on in Samuel's mind? He's looking at the whole picture through human eyes. He's scared of Saul. He ought to be scared of God. How many people you know like that? And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to the sacrifice, to sacrifice to the Lord." Now I think this is the key here, because we need to bring a sacrifice into this equation that we're seeing in our crazy world. We need to bring a sacrifice, and that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by His blood and His vicarious suffering for us that we are new creatures in Him. This is His world. And He will bring a stop to the insanity. And He'll cause every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that He is Lord, to the glory of the Father. God's choices are surprising. Let's quickly move on to verses 6 through 10. His choice is surprising in its rejections. And it came to pass, verse 6, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab. This is Jesse's firstborn. And Samuel said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. If I ever saw a king in my life, it's this guy, Eliab. Man, he's a sight to behold." Verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have," what's your Bible say? "Refused him." Now, we can argue with God. How far does that get us? "Oh, but Lord, he's so tall. Look at him. Look at those muscles that he's got from all of his working on Daddy's farm. I mean, he looks like a king." That was a problem. They chose Saul because he was head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. Tall don't get you anything but a nosebleed. "I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth." This is verse 7. "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." I know things about Eliab you have no clue, Samuel. Sometimes I wonder why God didn't just clue him in. Let Samuel see him like God sees him. Oh, mercy. That would take us over to chapter 17. Verse 12 tells us that David, the son of Jesse, had eight sons. Jesse had eight sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle, and the names of his three eldest sons were Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went, returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. Now that's very important about David. Feeding sheep? That's important? Sure it is. It's important when that's your job. Eliab got angry with David. And I've lost the verse. Okay, it's verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now that's what God saw in Eliab's heart. Bitterness, treating his youngest brother badly, accusing him of things. He had no idea why David was there. In fact, he's bringing food to his brothers. So God passed by Eliab, and God passed by Abinadab, and God passed by Shema, until he had passed by seven of the eight brothers. And Samuel asked Jesse, "Is this all you have?" "Well, there's one, and he's in the field watching the sheep. Send for him. Bring him." And he saw David. And there were some things about David that were attractive in a human sort of way. But what God saw, he said, "Samuel, you need to anoint this one. This is the one." God saw David's heart, that his heart was filled with integrity, that he did what he was supposed to do. He bloomed where God planted him. Amen? That's out in the field with the sheep. We're out of time. Let me hurry to point this out to you. And there are so many other things in this passage of Scripture. When Samuel came to Jesse's house, he brought a sacrifice. And they offered sacrifice, and his brothers were all sanctified. The Scripture says they were set apart for this celebration of what was going to happen there. David was not part of the sacrifice or the celebration. Check me out. Why was that? The brothers needed to be set apart. They needed to be sanctified. And they needed to partake of the sacrifice because they had sins that need to be dealt with. And David, out in the field, had already dealt with his sin, one-on-one with God. Yes, David had his problems. He did some things that he shouldn't have done. Who hasn't? Amen? But God chooses on the basis of what's in here, not what's on the outside. We need to keep short accounts, as I said a while ago, with God. When we know we've sinned, we need to confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That needs to be a daily thing, not once a month. Amen? Do that daily. That's what David did. That's why his heart was after God. At any rate, when God chooses, He does so sovereignly. He does so surprisingly. And He does so specifically. And that's my message, and it's time for us to dismiss. I don't know if God is calling someone in this room today. That's not my purview. I don't have to know what God's doing. All I have to do is tend the sheep like He told me. Preach the word and let Him do with it as He will. But if you're here today and God's speaking to your heart, there's something that you need to do business with Him over. And my heart encourages your heart. Do what God wants you to do. I received a call to go to Oregon. What year was that, sweetie? 2006. And I have to refer to my secretary because I can't remember those things. And I told God when He started dealing with my heart, I don't want to go to Oregon. I'm a southern boy. You know where He sent me? I had no idea where I was going. I knew the name of the place is in southern Oregon, Brother Roy. Southern Oregon. We were about 20 minutes from the California line. And God gave us a precious little congregation. And He did some things there that it'd take all evening to tell you about. But now we have a small congregation, just a handful, in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And you know what keeps my motor going? You know what just revs me up and wants me to get back to church every chance I can? These people devour the Word of God. They can't get enough. Oh, are you quitting now? Can we go another 30 minutes? That's what I hear on a regular basis. That keeps me puttering. And I thank you so much for this opportunity to celebrate with you. And I'm so glad what God is doing in this church. He's not done. He is in the process of doing what He's doing in this church. And our prayers are with you. We love y'all. Thank you so much.